Romans 14, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1, and we're going to read through the chapter, okay? So hang with me for just a moment. Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Lord, thank you for your word today and this passage that you placed in the scriptures for us to help us to look at things a little differently, Lord, than sometimes we may. To think about the fact that we are accountable to you. And Lord, also to consider that our brother or sister in Christ is not accountable to us, but they are also accountable to you. And Lord, that it is our joy, our privilege, and our responsibility to serve you, to judge ourselves, and not to judge one another. To consider how the things we do affect those around us. And to live accordingly to the glory of our God. Grant us wisdom and understanding as we look into your word today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to come back to this passage in just a moment. So, it's not forbidden. Should I do it? Good question. So, it's not forbidden. Should I do it? Now, the answer of many Christians today, right away to that question, is what? It's not forbidden. Should I do it? What's the answer of many people today? The answer is yes. It's not forbidden, therefore I should what? I should do it. If the Bible doesn't forbid it, I should do it. But you think that's God's answer?
No.
I don't think so. We need to understand the bigger picture. The bigger picture. We get caught up in the little picture. The little picture is just me. It's I. It's very self-centered. And the little picture says, well, I want to do it. God doesn't forbid it, so therefore, have at it. I'm going to do it because I want it. But there's a bigger picture to consider that Paul is expressing here in Romans 14. Let me ask you a question. What is God's purpose in redeeming you? What is God's purpose in redeeming, in saving your soul? Is it A, to pluck you from the fires of hell? Is it B, to grow his family and kingdom? Is it C, to give you eternal life in heaven, though undeserved? Or is it D, to restore in you his image, the image of his Son, to his glory? Now, before you shout out A, B, C, or D, the answer is E. And that it would be all of the above. God did redeem us to pluck us from the fires of hell, because if it were not for him, that's where we all would go. He did redeem us to grow his family and his kingdom, because he wants us to be his children. He did redeem us to give us eternal life in heaven, although we don't deserve it. And he did redeem us to restore in us his image, the image of his Son, to his glory. We'll focus on the last one, number four here this morning, letter D. As to the last, restore in him, in you his image, that's from Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. God saved you that he might conform you to the image of his Son. Or we might put it another way from 1 Peter chapter 1. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Or we might put it this way from Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All of those teach basically the same thing. Christ redeemed us to restore in us the image of his dear Son, that we might live to the glory of God, who has given us eternal life and changed our life forever. You see, the Christian life is not about what is forbidden and what is not. Don't think of the Christian life as every time you have to make a decision, is this forbidden or is it not? That's not living the Christian life when that's the only question you ask as you go throughout life. The Christian life is not about a list of rules and do's and don'ts. The Christian life is about a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. The Christian life is about Jesus. It's about serving and pleasing our Lord, being holy. It's about bringing glory to his name in the sight of others. It's about being a light to reflect the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, into a dark world lost in sin. The Christian life is not about me so much. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about a list of rules that I have to do or keep. It is about my relationship with who? With Jesus Christ. It is about serving Jesus Christ. It is about bringing glory to Jesus Christ. For if it were not for Jesus Christ, I would have no life at all. I would still be dead in trespasses and in sins and on my way to an eternal place of judgment in the lake of fire. God saved me because of Jesus Christ, who died for me. He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell inside my heart, that he might speak to me day by day through his word, that he might lead me and guide me in the path of righteousness. It is all about Jesus Christ. It is certainly not about seeing how much like the world we can become and yet be okay with God. That is not the Christian life. It's not about seeing how much like the world we can become and yet be okay with God. It's not about seeing how close to the cliff you can get without what? Without teetering over. But yet a lot of Christians seem to live that way. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing." The Bible says, "Flee youthful lusts." The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Does that seem to indicate that God wants you to see how close you can get to the world? No. It seems to indicate we ought to see how far we can get from the world and how close we can get to who? And to the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. By the world, we don't mean the people of the world. We mean the lusts of the flesh and the temptations of the world. We're supposed to be being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and be not conformed to the what? To the world. But by transformed by the renewing of our mind. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. I had Brother Ernesto read that for us up here a few minutes ago. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." What does he mean, strangers and pilgrims? Does he mean that they are strangers and pilgrims to him? That you're strangers to me, and I beseech you as strangers. No. No, that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is pilgrims and strangers on earth. Okay? Ever heard the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore, because I have a home up there. This is just the place I'm what? I'm passing through, I'm a stranger, I'm a pilgrim here, because as a child of God, my home is in heaven." That's what he's talking about. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts." That means don't do them. Don't do them. Don't succumb to those lusts and temptations. Stay away from them. Do not play with fire. Stay away. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the what? The soul. The soul of you that God is transforming day by day into the image of His Son. The lusts of the flesh run counter to that. They war against God's will and purpose in you. So don't play with them. Don't see how close you can cozy up to them. Abstain means to what? Stay away. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Be of such a testimony in life that others will recognize that, and they will be forced to recognize that God is good and that God is real, that He's changed your life, and that they need Him too. That they need Him too. You know, if you see a fire, a big building on fire, most of us run right up and see how close we can get to the fire before we get burned. Is that right? Or do we tend to run away and see how far we can get from the fire to make sure we don't get burned? Which is it? We run away. Now, there are people that have special gear. They're called what? Firemen, and they run into the fire to try to save people. You know, there was one who was special, who came to this earth, who ran into the fire to save you. His name is who? Jesus Christ. But he was untouched by the fire because he is who? He is the Son of who? He is the Son of God. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without what? Without sin. Okay? But you are not him. Okay? You are hopefully being conformed into his image. You are becoming more like him. But don't run into the fire. Don't play with temptation. Stay what? Stay away. Run away. Flee. In other words, choose to be like Jesus and not like the world. In every area of life and conduct, follow who? follow Christ. And so, seeking to please Him, there are a few thoughts from the Bible today, from Romans chapter 14, to help us in that endeavor. Principles which we all need to apply the best we know how with God's help to make everyday decisions. Principles which go beyond "it is forbidden" or "it is commanded." Okay? Principles that go beyond "it is forbidden" or "it is commanded." Okay? Be honest. There are decisions we make every day that you can't necessarily find a verse that says, "thou shalt do this" or "thou shalt not do this." So then how do I know if I should do this or if I shouldn't? If it's God's will or if it's not? Now, there are some decisions that don't really matter a whole lot. For instance, which tie I wore this morning. I don't know that there was a tie that was God's will and another tie that was not God's will for me to wear this morning. Okay? But there are other decisions, many decisions we have to make that are of a moral nature. Decisions that affect others. Decisions that affect our life going forward that we make. And those are often very important. And we need God's help. And you know something? God has not left us without help. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. And He's given us a what? A brain. Most of us, hopefully. A mind. To take the Word of God and listen to the Spirit. And then a will to follow through and do it. So He wants us to use the mind that He's given us, with His Spirit and with His Word, to make the right decision. So what kind of principles, and we could look at many, we're just going to look at a few quickly this morning, that we can use from Romans chapter 14, okay? Romans chapter 14, verse 4, okay? Romans 14, verse 4. "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Look if you would down to verse 10. "But why dost thou" what? "Judge thy brother. Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For he shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Look in verse 13. "Let us not therefore" what? "Judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Principle number one this morning. Judge who? Yourself before others. Judge yourself before others. Matthew chapter 7 contains one of the most quoted verses in Scripture. Does anybody know what it is? "Judge not that ye be not judged." Matthew 7, 1. "Judge not that ye be not." Now that's one of the most quoted passages in Scripture, because so many times when people are doing the wrong thing and somebody wants to help them to see that they're doing the wrong thing, their response is, "Let me alone, leave me be," and we quote this passage of Scripture, "Judge not that ye be not judged." All right? And that's a little bit out of context, okay? There is a right and there is a wrong, and if you're sharing the Word of God with somebody in particular, that's not a bad thing, that's a what? That's a good thing. If you're speaking the truth in love and doing it for the right reasons. But let's look at this passage real quick. Matthew 7, 1. "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote, the speck that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote, the speck, out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Well, what is Jesus saying here? Well, Jesus is saying this. Judge yourself before you seek to judge or rebuke or help others. Start with who? Start with self. Stop looking at other people to see what's wrong with them. Do we do that? Yeah. Stop looking to see what's wrong with them. We do that a lot. I'm afraid it is sort of a plague in fundamental circles to spend so much of our thought process and time looking at everybody else to see what they're doing wrong instead of looking at who? Instead of looking at ourselves. Look at their hair. Boy, is it a funny color. Look at all those piercings they have. Look, they're covered in tattoos. Listen to the way they talk. Did you see where they went? Did you see how they're dressed? Do you see what they ate or drank? And we can add and add and add and add and add to the list. Now, personally, I have some convictions about some of those things. There's things I don't drink. I don't care for tattoos, and I don't particularly think God does. I kind of think that there's probably a concern if somebody's got piercings all over them. But who's their judge? God is their judge, and not me. You see, I might look at them covered in tattoos and think, what is their problem? And they may look at the size of my belly and go, what is his problem? You see, we're all so quick to judge who? Somebody else. And not ourselves. We're so eager to take the mote out or just to point out the mote, the speck in somebody else's life and not deal with the log that's in our own life. Like pride. Like jealousy. Like anger. Like bitterness. Like immorality. Wicked thoughts. Lack of trust in the Lord. You see, we're so eager to point out maybe some of the more obvious issues in others. And to judge and condemn them without considering what God wants to change in our own life and what needs to change for Him. Yes, you must exercise discernment in your life. Where you go, what you do, who you hang out with. You should seek to help others who are in need. But we often seek to exalt self over others, to make us feel good about ourselves by pointing out their frailties, whether they be real or perceived. We judge them harshly, far more harshly than we judge who? Than we judge ourselves. The mark of a mature Christian is one who examines himself honestly, not others, but himself or herself. We will never grow if we are judging others all the time because we make ourselves feel like, hey, I'm good. I'm better than them. I don't have their problem. I don't use their language. I don't go to their places. I don't do this or dress that way. We're not helping them and we're not helping us when we spend all our time judging them. We will not help others if we see ourselves as their judge. We're not their judge. We're their brother or sister in Christ. We're their helper. We're not their judge. Now, does that call for some discernment? Yes, it does. But it does not place me in the position of being their judge. The Word of God judges, yes. The Lord who wrote the Word judges, yes. But I am not the judge of anyone but who? But myself. And I can't help them if I don't see them as somebody in need rather than somebody to condemn. We must learn not to be so judgmental to others if we are to be any good to God, ourselves, or them. Learn instead to examine yourself daily. Deny self. Confess failure. Call sin, sin, and repent of it. Don't call everybody else sin, sin, and them to repent of it. Start with who? Start with you. Start with me. Start with ourselves. Only then will we begin to really grow as a Christian. I'm afraid there are a lot of very shallow, very infantile Christians today in fundamental churches because all we do is spend our time looking at others and not looking at self, making ourselves judges when we instead are supposed to be servants. So be careful. Principle number one, judge self first. Principle number two, consider your own edification and the edification of others. Consider your own edification and the edification of others. 1 Corinthians, get here, 10:23. Paul writes, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Now again, I mentioned this in closing last week. Paul is not talking about it being lawful for him to murder people, because it is not lawful for him to murder people. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about some of the laws in the Old Covenant for the Jews that do not translate to the church. For instance, the Jews could not eat certain kinds of meat. The Jews could not drink certain things. The Jews could not do work on the Sabbath, Saturday. There were things, part of the Old Testament, many things, feasts they had to keep, things they had to do that were for Israel under the Old Covenant that are not assigned to us in the New Testament. And he said, he's speaking of those things, not murder, thieving, adultery, that, but those things. He's saying, those things are lawful for me. I can eat pork because I'm now a member of the church more than I am a member of Israel. I'm in the new covenant and not under the what? The old covenant. And so all these things are lawful for me, but all things are not beneficial to me. All things are lawful for me, but not all things build me up in the faith. Not all things help me to grow and to mature. That's what Paul is saying here. Stop asking only, is it forbidden or is it commanded? Instead, ask this: will this activity help me to grow, to be more like Christ, or will it hinder my growth and maturing in the faith? Will it help me or will it hinder me? Not just is it forbidden or is it commanded, but will it help me or will it hinder me? Important question, you think? I think so. I was a youth pastor for 12 years. I still work with youth some, and I still have teens in my own home. And it is hard to get them to see this principle and understand it. But it is so very important to get this early in life. Choose to do things with your life that will make you what? Better. Choose to do things in life which will make you better. Choose to do things in your life that are pleasing to who? That are pleasing to God. See the big picture. Don't just look for, is it forbidden or is it commanded? Look at the big picture. Is this going to help me in growing to be more like the Lord? Is this going to please Him more? Is this going to make me better? Or is this going to hinder my growth? And again, I know, teenager, that is hard to see. You know, sometimes adult, that's also hard to see. Rather than looking at the big picture, which is harder and takes more effort and willingness to deny self, we simply want to look, well, is it forbidden or is it commanded? If it's not forbidden, I can do it. If it's not commanded, I don't have to do it. And that, well, that makes it easy. That's the easy way out. It's not the best way. The best way, is it beneficial? Will spending hours a day playing video games make my life better? What do you think? No, probably not. Will eating junk food make my life better? Probably not. Will listening to hard rock and rap music make my life better? Probably not. Will watching horror movies and reading scintillating romance novels make my life better? Probably not. Will hanging out with a friend who pushes the boundaries or is disrespectful to authorities make my life better? The answer is no. And we could go on and on and on. You see, it's not just about, well, does God say I can't listen to a particular kind of music? Show me in Scripture where God says I can't listen to this music. Can't show you in Scripture, thou shalt not listen to rap music. That's not in there. But there's principles in there. And one of those principles is this. Is it going to make your life better to be continually absorbing that? Taking that into your mind? Or is there something better you could put into your mind and into your heart that will help you to grow? Will reading my Bible every day make my life better? Yes. If you're a kid, will going to school and paying attention and doing your best make your life better? Yes. Maybe harder. Maybe more fun to kid around and not listen to the teacher, but it ain't going to make your life better. Will eating healthy foods probably make my life better? Probably. Will listening to wholesome music and good programming on TV make my life better? Yes. Will going to church often make my life better? Will hanging out with godly friends make my life better? Yes. So don't just ask the question, is it forbidden or is it commanded? Maybe you can ask the question, will it make my life better? Will it make me more like Jesus? We need to minimize in our lives the things which hinder God's work in us and maximize the things which encourage it. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that giveth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Walk with the Lord every day. Maximize your relationship with Christ. Minimize the appetites and the lusts of the flesh. Don't see how close you can get to the fire. See how close you can get to the place of security and safety that is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Learn to judge self and not others, and we will grow to be more holy, more set apart, more like Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the principles that we find in God's word that teaches us to be more like Jesus, that helps us to look at things through the eyes of Christ and not through the eyes of self, the eyes of the world. Help us, Lord, to read your scripture maybe a bit differently than we have at times, to see what truly is your will and what we can do to fulfill that will and be more like you. Help us, Lord, to judge ourselves and to take our eyes off of others. To look at others as people who have needs, to pray for them, to help them. And Lord, to see all of us as your servants, and ourselves in particular, as accountable to God for ourselves and not others. Lord, I pray as we consider that, if there be one in here today that's never trusted Christ, that has never recognized their accountability before God for their sin, and come to Christ to be saved and given eternal life, Lord, I pray today that you would help them to recognize that you died for them to save them. But Lord, if they reject you, you will hold them accountable. And that there is a place called hell in the lake of fire for those who reject your Son. And Lord, there is eternal life for those who will receive him. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here today that's never trusted Christ, that they would come as we give this hymn of invitation, that we might show them how to be saved. And Lord, I pray for us who have already become the children of God through faith in you, that we will consider this morning and all this week to examine ourselves. And Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, that you would point it out and lead us in the way everlasting as we repent and confess that before you, that we might grow to be more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.